G'day everyone, and welcome to the show. Today we've got one of Sarita's friends actually on the show who I met not too long ago, Greg Doyle. How are you going, Greg?
Hey, Pete, I'm good.
You're an astral traveler, Reiki master, writer, and you're an experiencer. Right now, I've got it up on the page too. I recommend everyone going to check out gregdoyleastral.com. Lots of great stuff there. I actually saw you talk, I think it was late last year here in Melbourne. I was taken aback by a lot of what you're saying. It was very similar to what I've experienced. Would you mind giving the viewers and listeners sort of a little bit of an introduction to who Greg Doyle is?
Yeah, sure. Look, it was an absolute kind of shock initiation, if you like, about 16 years ago when it all started happening, because I hadn't had any interest in kind of the ET contact or any kind of, and I think it does go into the spiritual realms, but I wasn't on a spiritual path per se, and I was a musician like yourself actually, but I was a classical musician.
Yeah.
I was living in Europe at the time in Vienna, and I was just going about my life. and then one day I'll cut straight to the chase. The first time it happened was and this is where it goes in the astral experience realms and would be connected to the idea of astral body abduction kind of things. But what happened was this. I'm asleep in bed. Just before dawn, the feeling of a light coming into the room, going to my forehead. Now, this light woke me up and I thought, well, I'm totally awake, totally conscious, but I know my body's asleep. So I had absolute lucidity. It wasn't like a dream or something. I was, from one moment to the next, woken by a light that was coming through my forehead. This light also came into my heart. It felt very good. And the actual mechanics of it was like the light, it was like it, you know, when you close your eyes at night, you can kind of see little bits of light behind your eyelids, if you like. Maybe it's some kind of electrostatic, whatever. It seemed to collect all of this light behind my eyelids, if you like, and there's little triangular slithers. All these triangles, and it collected them into a circle, a concentrated circle. When this happened, it got really bright, and there was a lot of wind in my ears, the feeling of wind in my ears. And I'm lying there thinking, well, what's this? This is strange because I've got wind going on. I know my body's asleep. I'm totally conscious. And there was a feeling of, do you want to come with me? That was the definite invitation. And I thought, yeah, let's go. Plus, I was kind of... I felt because I was being flooded with this energy in my heart as well, it wasn't scary. So anyway, I said, okay, let's go. And next thing, I'm in this tunnel. Now, it was a definite wormhole. I say that because not a week later, I see for the first time the movie with Jodie Foster, Contact. Great movie.
You've yes. Probably
seen. Beautiful movie. When I saw that movie, and it was funny because I saw that a week after this experience. I'm going past a video store in Vienna. I see it. I think I grab it. And the experience of her going through the wormhole was exactly the experience I had. It actually brought tears to me because it was exactly what I'd had. So I'm flying down this wormhole. It's winding. It's got sections. It's made up of light and stuff really fast. And I notice I have no body. It was an interesting experience. And I'm thinking, and I'm going for a while, warp speed. And then at the end of it, I think, can I come out of this? And all of a sudden I'm out. I'm in an arid atmosphere. It's like a desert, sort of like red sand, no trees. And in front of me would be around 8 or 10 very tall towers, massive buildings opening up at the top to huge disc-shaped structures at the top. Rows and rows of lights, hundreds of lights or hundreds of windows in each of these buildings. Massive metallic structures, and in many of the buildings there were lights on or lights off, rather like you'd see in skyscrapers.
Oh,
in yeah. Okay, so it was a feeling of dusk, and it was very, very real. And when I say very, very real, this what has isolated the astral experiences to normal life for me. The astral experiences are more real. My senses are heightened. Right.
Again, 100% agree for myself too.
Yeah, so people say, oh, are you dreaming? I say, are you dreaming now? You know, it's more real than this. So not a dream. And And when I was there looking at these buildings, I just thought, what the? And I felt these words come into me, and it was like, there are others. This is not Earth. And then I come back, and I had these like tears of kind of ecstatic joy. And I come out of this experience thinking, what on earth was that? And that was the very first astral thing I'd had. And that had, there was the implication of some kind of ET area. Now, not long after that, and this is where the whole out-of-body experience went into the, what I felt was to do with, was ET-led, put it that way. A couple of experiences later, I go out of my body. I feel that now what happens is I hear vibrations come and get me. It's either, it can be a light or it can be vibrations. So I'm asleep, and generally before dawn, vibrations will wake me up. Just you've heard these vibrations. So, and I can differentiate between the different kind of vibrations, like there are certain ones and other ones. Vibrations, and I feel my body lift out of my physical body. So I can actually feel my energy body often turn if I'm on my side or turn onto its back, and I'd be lifted out. Now, in this next particular one was fascinating. I'm out of my body. I'm thinking nothing. And then I hear my own voice kind of resonate from another dimension, if you like. And it says, I want to see me. In front of me, like I'm looking at you, but 3D, ultra high definition, right in front of me, I see me. As I was then, this was 16 years ago. I'm thinking, boy. And then the wind starts in the ears, and there's a slideshow, and I get younger and younger and younger and younger. Little boy, baby, gone. Eyes always in the same place. Next, an old Chinese Mongolian man. I just knew it was Chinese Mongolian. And you're kind of learning these experiences. You just know, as you know, you just sort of forget someone saying, oh, he's Chinese Mongolian. I just knew. Old guy, same thing. Wind in the ears, slideshow. Younger, 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 gone. Next one was not so old, in his 30s, would have been African medicine man. Like he's full of all this kind of, some kind of regalia, some kind of, he's wearing some stuff. Very powerful looking guy, eyes in the same place. And I'm a bit scared because I'm thinking, what's this? Because it's not like I'm looking at a screen. It's real. Uber real. Realer than this reality, as I say. So there's this African medicine man kind of guy. And once again, the eyes in the same place. Slideshow, getting younger, baby, getting younger, gone. Next one is not a human. He's got a longish face, and it opens up to a bit of a bulbous head, but kind of a longish. And the eyes are in the same place. And it's getting younger and younger, and I'm looking at the background, it ain't Earth. And I'm pulling out. Remember, this whole extraterrestrial thing was new to me. And so I just pulled out what I wanted, and as I pulled out, I heard a word, I heard someone say, intermission. And what I found is in this whole astral thing, there's been a kind of humor as well. Like
Oh, there is.
absolutely, it's not all serious and that. There's kind of there's a bit of life to it, and it's humorous slash loving guidance, if you like. There's something going on that is good, and this is where I say the whole, even though I've had interactions with what we would call not particularly positive aliens, I still feel the whole experience is worthwhile, and that everybody should, if they get the chance, make contact, go for it, just go for it, Anyway, the upshot of this experience was I was a bit confused because it's still early on in my astral career, and I'm thinking, what was this? And I spoke to a woman who was in the meditation. She said, Greg, because as you know, early on, you don't talk about this with people because they think you're nuts, And now I don't. I now I'm fine. That's who I am, and I'm happy. But at that time, and she said, that sounds like a past life regression. I said, well, what do you mean? And I was brought up a Catholic, not a strict Catholic, but not a practicing Catholic as well. But it wasn't part of my life scheme, the idea of reincarnation. But once again, when she said that, I felt my body kind of buzz, and I've gotten used to that feeling. You know yourself, like that flush of energy, and okay, that's the truth. That is right. It was like my body was integrating this truth that I've lived before. And it made sense. And I thought, geez, that's a good point. The eyes are in the same place, slideshow. I asked, I want to see me, and to think I was an alien. Like, that was a big shock to me, to think I have lived before as an alien. And then I think to myself, now, of course, I think, so what?
And how many other lives have you lived as other?
That's right.
And how much of this is coexisting in yes. the illusion of what we think is time at the same time?
Time. It's like, you know, having a kaleidoscope. You turn it that way and you look down, you're seeing all the time at once. So it changed my whole perception. But in the beginning, as I said, it just wasn't on my radar. I was just trying to live my life. And now what happened was then when these experiences were happening, I kind of started to become more authentic. Now, what that means is I was in a classical world. I was trying to get a conducting career going, and it was in the orchestral conducting world. It's very ego driven.
Yeah,
right? And
same
I found
with the rap world. I can tell you that. Geez, yeah.
I realized. I think, yeah. Musicians, what a lovely thing to do. It's nice to do, but you've got to live in the world of it as well. And I found myself saying the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time. Or you could say the right thing. Or you could say it was the right thing to the right person at the right time. But I was just derailing my career. More and more, I found that this kind of experiences I was having, I started to really crave them, because I thought I was feeling more real in these experiences. And that rubbed off in this lifetime, in that I was speaking my truth.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I remember one guy after some concert said, "Oh, I know why you're not getting the big breakthrough you want, Greg." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you don't have enough ego." I said, "Oh, thanks, mate." He said, "No, it's not a compliment." And I thought, "Oh, okay, it's time to go in what I'm actually more interested in now," you know. And that was how it all started.
What got me with all what you're saying, personally for myself, and I've been saying this lately, so I don't know if you've seen it on the shows, but it correlates with what you're saying in terms of, I've been trying to explain that when I look at this reality, whether I see you, my family, the objects around me, this room right now on the screen, it's almost like as if it's a 70s colour TV.
Yes.
When you have these experiences, it's like 2015 HD on crack clarity. And you are just as clear and conscious of this as I am now talking to you. And when you said that HD type of experience, I was like, this dude is talking exactly what I'm talking about. And people don't get it.
It's hard to explain that to people. And when people say to me, I mean, now I'm not getting frustrated, because, as you know, when you talk about it more and more, it's okay. But
yeah.
People say, how do you know it wasn't a dream? And as you say, this reality now, that the switch is kind of flipped at some stage, and the reality, that the 3D reality becomes, like, as you say, like the 70s TV thing. For me, this is now not real.
Yep.
I mean, it's real on that level, but the other is more real. So this is the second reality. The other is, for me, the principal reality, which is energy, motivation, like in the astral, you're telekinetic, you know, you're clairvoyant, you're clairaudient. I mean, I even had guides show me all these things when I had never even heard of clairvoyance and stuff. I mean, and it was just so, just mind-bogglingly amazing. And now this, in the beginning, it got me down, because I thought, well, what is this reality? I was kind of depressed coming back. But after a while, I kind of now kind of enjoy it more, because I see it as less real, so I can play with it more. And it's like,
once you know it's an illusion, you can manipulate it.
Yeah, it doesn't affect you as much. It's okay. You're less reactive, if you like. So it's sort of whatever when someone's going, "Oh, have you heard the latest news?" You know? And I love to sit down with such people and go, "Okay, why are you so irate about this news?" "Oh, because over there, you know, people are dying." And I go, "What's bad about death? I'm looking forward to it." "Don't you like living?" "I actually love living more, because I'm looking forward to dying. Because I'm not afraid of death."
You know, it doesn't end. It's
doesn't end. You don't die, mate. Yeah. All energy, as you know. And so people go, "Really?" And then you think, in this society, how little we talk about death in a positive way, really. It's, if you look at you just glance at the front page of a newspaper and all these words they use, you know, like teenager slain or something. And the whole thing is, you know, it's sort of imprinted on people day after day. The media tries to, anyway, that death is a terrible thing. Let's not talk about it. it's a terrible thing, it's a terrible thing, terrible thing. Even in a joking way in movies when they have a lot of these kind of humorous murder things, but somehow death is kind of, and then when you get past that, I mean, I've even had an astral where I experienced my own death. I asked, I want to die. And I was drowning in blood and I was in this body. So I'll know the room if I'm there. So, and it was interesting to experience. I had to let go, and just because I was really going mental, my heart was going crazy. There was blood. I was trying to pull myself up on a bed. I couldn't, and I was just drowning in it. I just let myself go. And what was interesting, when I came to, my heart wasn't pounding. And a lot of people have said to me, oh, you shouldn't do astral traveling because the heart gets, often the heart chakra gets very intense. But what I say to people is, it's not your actual heart. You won't have a heart attack. It's the energy of your heart. Because when I come back after these astral things, I'm calm.
Yeah.
So.
And I sort of sit there blissed out, absorbing what just happened. Because
you do.
As you would know, pardon me, for myself, when it's happened, it's like as if you could have an hour, like even though time's an illusion, out of the body, it's like as if equivalent to an hour or days or a week of experience is crammed into the blink of an eye. Like, it can be that quick. So it can be like you pop out of body, back in, and it's like a week or two or a day, and then you're sort of integrating that and going, shit, and you're absorbing what you've seen, what you got, how unbounded and free you are. And that everyone is like that, but unless they've experienced that, they don't get that. And I sort of like look forward to getting back to that, this facet of myself getting back to that, because it is amazing, as you know. It's just that there's so much to it. And this is where I guess we've been kept away from connecting with that side of ourselves. With yourself, we'll go into another sort of area here with the astral thing. You've had physical experiences as well as astral as well. And that, for myself, I blew a lot of the astral off for years. And then it was like I got my butt kicked by the beings I interact with and work with on other levels, because they came physical. And that's been the difference with me. And I need, and when it happened, as I say to a lot of people, be careful what you wish for, because it's a lot to integrate and handle, personally for myself with that. So how's the physical experiences been for yourself?
It's interesting. The first time I went astral in this reality was fascinating. What I mean by that is I was awake and the vibrations came.
Yeah.
Now, when that happens, when I'm awake, the vibrations are 100 times as loud. It's like this huge centrifugal kind of vroom, vroom. What happened was I was in a tent. I'd injured my knee surfing down at Torquay. And I thought, well, and I knew it was coming too. I remember that day, I just knew it was coming, something was coming. And I'm lying there in the tent after having been to the doctor, had the knee strapped up. And I just thought to myself, because I've been having a fair few astral experiences, I thought, well, hang on. I know that my template is somewhere in perfect health. I just know that this illusion, if you like, I think I'm injured because I've played out this drama with my knee. But I know I'm not. Now, what I did was, the first time, as I said, this astral in this reality happened was, then I sort of use a mantra to kind of take that over into sleep. And this can be useful in astral terms because you kind of take it over into where, when you fall asleep, the logical world unravels. For instance, you know, we've been to school, we're taught that, well, I remember being taught gravity for the first time and I thought bullshit.
Yeah.
I remember when the guy said, oh, Newton, Isaac Newton, apple falls from the tree, that's the speed of gravity, that's law. And I remember thinking as a kid, bullshit. I just remember that. I thought, why am I thinking bullshit? Anyway.
You know. You just know.
No, yeah. So I'm in the tent and I'm thinking, okay. And it just occurred to me to think this. I didn't force it upon myself. I just thought, I deny the illusion of my injured leg and I give thanks for my perfect health. And I remember when I say this, I kind of, because now I see my mind is all through my body. My mind's not just here. My mind's through my body. My mind's around my body. So that's like, you know, your energy body is your mind. You know, and more, you know, so your mind is non-local. So I was trying to feel my cells. I wanted my cells to feel that I wasn't injured.
Yeah.
And I kept this going over and over. Now, when you say a mantra like this, you don't fall asleep straight away because you try to stay conscious. So after about an hour and a half, I fell asleep. Didn't fall asleep consciously. But anyway, I wake up in the night, kept on saying this mantra. Just before dawn, I thought, well, nothing's happened. But I sort of caterpillared myself onto my stomach because I was lying on my back and I've got a really sore knee, so it really hurt to get my body onto my stomach. I just caterpillared myself over, and I know I'm totally awake. You know, my girlfriend's next to me in the tent. It's starting to get light already. I know I'm awake, like I'm talking to you now, right? And then the vibrations begin. I think, whoa. Now, this is a really weird experience. First of all, I hear the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not a religious person, and I can't even tell you the Lord's Prayer. It was in my own voice. I hear my own voice speaking, and this vibrations going on. And every time I got to on heaven as on earth, it started to repeat on heaven or on earth as in heaven. I don't know, one of these two, right?
Yeah.
The linking up of, I don't even know the Lord's Prayer, but it was exactly the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father, blah, blah, blah. So this is interesting. Later on, I thought, well, I guess there are those earnest monks who've put out this prayer. I don't know, maybe it has some strength. Anyway, on earth it is in heaven. So it somehow, when it was saying that, it was kept on resonating on earth. And then my body was lifted off my stomach, because it's gone onto my stomach, lifted up. And I was just effortless. I felt myself weightless, turned, put onto my back, and all of a sudden I felt all these fingers on my knee, and I felt hands around my ankles about to pull me out. Because often when I have kind of abduction sounds negative, but often when I'm taken out by aliens, it's I'm pulled out astrally by my ankles. But I was totally, totally, totally with it. And it was too full on. I pulled out then and there. I started freaking out because I wasn't in that astral kind of state where my body is totally asleep. I still had the kind of mortal fear, if you like. I find that when we're totally awake, people carry this mortal fear with them all the time. And that was interesting. That was the first time I had an experience where my body was manipulated, or the physical laws of gravity were manipulated. And then you think about levitation. I mean, people talk about levitation all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it does happen. But also, I once came back from an alien thing because I've had a few operations, and I had these two holes in my foot. They were two perfectly round moles. Now they've changed slightly. They're not as perfectly round, but identical moles on my left foot, just near the ankle there. So. They're still there. Do you want me to show?
Oh, if you can, it's up to you. That's
tricky, mate. But I'll get the camera there. Hang on. You can kind of see. Hang on.
There we go. Yep.
And they were identically round. And not only that, I thought, what the? And it was after an astral. It was after an alien thing. I thought, well, was this astral or not? And I went to the doctor. Out of interest, I just said, what's that? And he said, when did it come? And I said, last night. And he said, well, they look like moles. And he said, but they're identical. And he had a good look at them. I said, how can you, would that happen? He said, no. I said, what, don't moles just come? He said, yeah, but they're not, they were perfectly round when they're perfect and identical. And he said, I can't explain it medically. I just wanted to hear a doctor hear what they say.
Yeah, hear what they had to say about it, yeah.
Said I have no explanation for that, you know. But generally, most of my experiences consciously with aliens have been what I would call kind of astral. But who knows? Like, I haven't done regressions on this. If I were to do regressions, who knows?
I give both just as much validity as each other. I needed the physical. Just where I was at in the beginning, I really needed a physical because it just, you know, I needed my ass kicked, so to speak, for me to wake up, I guess, to my journey, which we've all got, you know, we've all got these commonalities and these overlaps and these, you know, groups that we work with. But once you get in the body computer, it's a different game because it's programmed. And as soon as you come here, even though the body computer is new and it's created, it's got the vibrational program with this realm when you come into it. So the spirit's different from that, or the soul, but you come into it, so it's totally different. We've talked before about and you've talked about the black helicopters, and look, you've seen crafts, you've seen similar stuff to what I've been filming lately here in Melbourne, and you've seen the black helicopters. Where did the government sort of, or the, I don't know if you could call it super soldier, or this component of the powers that be here, I guess, come into it for you in terms of the military and the black helicopters? How did this sort of play out for you coming into I guess your awakening, when you're waking up to sort of who you are and the astral experiences and everything?
Kind of when my book came out, because the book I had kept this in the dark. I was kind of in the closet with all these experiences. I really was. A few years ago, I found myself living in Spain, and I wrote this book, and it was just incredibly liberating. I just thought, I want to get these experiences down on paper. I'd written them down, but I wanted to get them. And ever I don't know whether. But I think it goes back before then. When I think back, it wasn't on my radar, the whole alien thing, but I tend to think, when I've dug a little deeper, I look at my grandfather in Ireland. I look at my sister, talk to her. They've had experiences. My sister's heard that the same screeching jet kind of vibration that goes to the certain ships. Certain vibrations took me to ships where there were tall whites on them.
Yep.
Now, but I mean, I've not, it has increased a lot in the last few years, or whether I notice it more. Like now, I've got helicopters over there, or I'll see, or like I was in Sweden when the book first came out. I was in Sweden, and I think what maybe happens to you, like I was talking about being authentic, like because you're becoming yourself. You're not afraid of who you are, and spirit is integrating more. Perhaps you just see more. But I was in Sweden on this boat. It was like a ferry. Stockholm's a beautiful city on the archipelago, and I'm going along, and I see this boat coming, speeding through. It's a black boat, like a big, oh, kind of, what would you call them? Those sort of big rubber boats, if you like, And there's all these guys. It looks really weird because it's going fast, and they're standing. They're standing in this boat. They're all dressed in black, black. What about
Or
balaclavas?
ski
All
mask top, yep.
everything black, black weapons, everything black. I don't know what they were doing, speeding along on the water. Now this was in this 3D reality, absolutely. A lot of boats, and these things were going really fast, really freaky sight. Went within meters of the ferry. I said to people, unfortunately, my wife just went to the loo when that happened, and I thought, bugger, because I reckon she would have seen it. I said to everyone around me, "You see that?" And like, this was an amazing sight. This is a real, like a black helicopter, but up close on the water. Where they were going, I don't know, but this is a real, this is had the energy of black operations going on. No one saw it. There it was, only meters away. Like it got a UFO right in front of you. But these were humans, man. These were, or super soldiers, or whatever. They were humans, though. I mean, humanic for sure, And no one saw it. And I find that, like, there are weird shaped helicopters going over all the time here. Like when I say all the time, I mean every day, every night. So I'm going to start. I was discussing with you earlier. I'll even take a few pics. There's even black cars that follow me. So I just found it's ramped up since the book, or my consciousness of them has ramped up. Because even when I've asked my sister, she hasn't written a book. A lot. She's just experienced things, but she talks about helicopters too. So, and I've got a feeling that alien contact is in bloodlines, and that we are being watched, we are being observed, we're being studied way back. And yeah, just I tend to think that we're on the radar of black ops when we're born.
And this is something I've talked to others with, and it's popped up over and over. And there's too many, like I've got stuff going back with my recently, in the last year or so, I found out my grandmother used to see crafts during World War II and never mentioned them until she found out I was on TV for all that, because I haven't spoken to her for many, many years. And then my brother came out, he told me about a few sightings, but then he started talking about his experiences. After my, I think it was my second or third book, and I'm like, you bugger, we could have spoken about, we could have had someone each to talk to about this. So And talking to other experiences, there's usually, you know, a connection with other family members or whatnot going back. So there is that component to it.
But
For
then there are,
yourself, go on, sorry.
but once when I used to be taken onto these huge ships, like this was astral. I thought it was astral. I'd hear these like screeching jet vibrations, and I'd go up often. They'd pull me out by the feet. I would feel myself moving at warp speed, and I would see the craft before I went on them, and they were huge, they were like cities. These and on the craft, generally quite sterile. The walls and stuff, I studied them, were kind of like a matte grey metal, a different kind of metal, not a shiny metal. A lot of humans, they seemed to be like almost like they were under some kind of almost drowsy. Everyone sort of walking around in rows and stuff, and I would try to make contact with a lot of them and sort of go, oh, and sort of, you know, try to get logical conversations happening, and it wasn't happening. And I had to really stay focused in what was happening, not to go drowsy again. Now, I was going up repeatedly on these places. The guys there were very tall, over 7 foot, way over 7 foot. Big guys. They looked humanoid. They had white skin, white hair, kind of darkish eyes, even maybe blue eyes, whatever. They never spoke. It was always telepathic.
Telepathic, yep.
They were not emotional, very superior, I've got to say, very superior. Now, what I found was that once I went out this hatch kind of thing, and I thought I'll see where the hatch goes, and it was a piece of earth, but it wasn't earth. It was a piece of ground, and there were weird shrubs and stuff, and I thought, well, this is supposed to be on a craft, and the sky looked different too. I thought, well, where are we here? Before I knew it, there was a white there at the door, and looking at me, and I heard him say, "You can leave. You can even take your life, but we've always got access to your energy." And I, at that time, I noticed I had a thing around my wrist. It was like an electronic bracelet of some kind. Now, people said to me, "That sounds like Doctor Who." And as I said earlier, I'm not interested in that stuff. I don't watch Doctor Who. This isn't part that not part of my vocab. I don't know what that was. And thinking about it, and then later I remember seeing the film, the Matrix film, and I thought to myself, well, there could well be beings that are using certain aspects of our consciousness in a slavery kind of way. And this is what I was feeling I was being shown. What happened was, at the end of it, I was going up again and again on these craft because I chose to. You know, I wanted to adventure. I wanted to see. We were in these huge mess rooms, like massive dining rooms. Once again, the same kind of metal. I even remember the cutlery and the food was quite good. And we were sitting there with people. We're all sitting there, and I would always try to make conversations with people, but it was like they were on medication. They were humans. And then one meal time, I heard these the sounds of cattle being slaughtered from very close by, like you could hear them being screamed. The cattle were screaming. They were being cut up. And for food fast. That was the feeling. And I stood up, and in kind of humorous way, I stood up and smashed the table and said to everyone, "Where next?" I remember the whites just looking at me, you know. And that was the last time I was invited back. And I really thought about it. Then people said, "That sounds really, really scary, really, really negative." And I said, "Okay, put scary, put negative away for a moment. What's actually going on there?" The feeling was that a lot of humans were going up, okay, using our energy. If everything is energetic, if it's an archetypal thing, those particular beings, it was the feeling that we were somehow, they were usurping our energy. For somehow, energy on this planet, and I've seen this in later astral experiences, I've seen one, I had a huge one recently where I went right up as high as I could to this. I wanted to see the outmost level of the human consciousness kind of thing. And I saw this incredible array of black helicopters and UFOs. And I thought, and I heard words saying, "Don't get caught up in conspiracy." But it was the feeling that there was contracts between certain aliens and humans, certain humans, to keep us, if you like, unconscious to a certain level. You probably experienced the same
I
kind of thing.
have, and what I believe is that the aliens have been used by a vehicle of something that's even above what we would even call ET to,
Yep.
almost use them as a vehicle, and then they use us as a vehicle to partake in, and to carry that out. Yeah,
it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? So, I mean, the whole reincarnation process, I tend to think that our whole role here as humans is to wake up and not to reincarnate back to slavery, back to a world that, I mean, you and I are okay, but most people are feeling they have to go 9 to 5 work. Do you know what I mean, mate?
Oh, mate, I do. And it's hard because I've had to break that as well.
Yeah, that's right. You have to. You get to the point, And your life will look after you. It's okay when you really know I'm not that. I'll be okay. I'll be material okay. And that's a massive leap of faith, but you've got to know it in yourselves, you know. Yeah. That's why I tell people, first of all, just know it. Just know it even intellectually that you can survive without being a cog in the system, because it just exhausts people, you know. My brother has spent a lot of time in Fiji, in native villages, and he said, wow, they're so different. And as you know, when you see, like, even in Indonesia, people look so open, I think. And in Fiji, he was saying the average guy there works 2 hours a day, 3 days a week to keep the village going in terms of farming and stuff. 2 hours a day, awesome. 3 days a week. The rest of the time, they're just loving it. Sure, they're not spending so much money, but they're just loving it.
But when you're not materialistic in everything else,
I know.
And Sol's got this thing about us doing a 4-hour work week and that sort of thing. Obviously, I've got to do a bit more with the interviews. And I love writing like you. I know that you're writing all the time. I love writing myself. So, but it's, instead of being a frigging slave, contribute to society through what you're good at and what your things are. It's like, don't go and work for some frigging dude that's going to make a heap out of you, and you're working all these hours and you still can't. It's like there's so many cleaners working at these high-rise, beautiful hotels, but yet they, with all their pay, they probably couldn't afford one night there.
I know. It's just absurd, isn't it? And those people who own these hotels are just getting richer and richer. They own the property. Houses are getting more and more expensive.
Yeah.
But the average person feels, oh, I've got to be a good citizen. I've got to be an obedient citizen and go to work. And many people say, oh, Greg, you know, what are you doing? You're on your deck writing, or what are you doing? And I say, look, I've still got to look after myself and stuff. And they go, yeah, but, you know, you're not. And I say, listen, it's your choice. And in a nice way, it doesn't rile me like it doesn't rile you anymore, but it's just like it's your choice to do that, you know, to have a massive mortgage and to – you know, be putting your kids through these incredibly expensive private schools and to be going to a job where I just see you just at the end of the day, you're just soulless. I mean, and you really can escape that wheel of you know, and that is part of our role. I think by being authentic, it's kind of like spirit, or you have more and more experiences because you're being authentic. And it's like the energy of the universe will conspire to help you do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And as you say, why not live your life? I mean, what I tend to think is if we imagine a world that is actually a reflection of who we are rather than thinking we've got to fit into a pre-existing world, you know? So education should be reverse engineering, if I like. Education should be looking at the utopian world, a great world, and looking back through that, okay, how can we – what can help you? Like, you know, at school you should learn how to – recycle, or, you know, imagine if school groups went out in the country for school camps to make contact with extraterrestrial civilizations.
Yeah.
What a beautiful subject. Imagine having the subject ET contact as one of your subjects. What are you studying? Yeah, I do ET contact. And I'm doing it in year 12. Sensational. Then I'm going to go to uni and I'm going to join these organizations and really get strong. You know, I mean, wow. You know, ET technologies, there's so much to be gained as it is being gained, you know.
Yeah.
Technology is on the planet. They're doing reverse engineering in the military, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And NASA, like you look, people go, oh, people haven't been to Mars yet. Rubbish. NASA, and even says on the website, NASA is the science-based arm of aeronautical space research. It's not the military arm. The military arm you don't hear about.
Yeah.
They are streets ahead of the science-based arm. NASA's nothing.
This is what they want in the public domain.
No, I know. And you say, people go, oh, that's rubbish. I go, look at the NASA website. They even say it. It's almost not a conspiracy. They're saying they are just the science-based arm. You know, There is so much truth out there when you look at it. Of course, we're not hearing everything from the military, but it's seeping through now. So, yeah, I'm with you. Same page.
And it's great that you're saying with one of the experiences, Dale was saying not to get carried away with the conspiracy side of things. Like,
Not to.
there are the government's a basically a conspiratorial organisation. If we look at the dictionary form, which I was surprised with years ago when I looked at it, but I think even with we hear about reptilians and there are positive and self-serving one. There's it's like that with everything. But like I say to a lot of people, I've seen, and I talked about this with one of my friends lately. I've seen people. Their lives go to crap because everything is a conspiracy or it's driven by that. And what I think's best to do is actually research and look into it, but don't make it the main front end all day, every day thing. I think you've got to, like and I think you'd agree with, when you start to realize reality and see it for what it is, and you slowly awake to it, you start to realize that almost everything's a lie and you need to re-educate and be skeptical on what you've been educated with at school, so you can come to some understanding on how this works and what's going on. And it's a hard thing, but doing that, you can't just let that, overwhelm you and overdo you, which is
I
hard as
reckon,
well, but having a
I reckon,
balance.
I reckon that what you're saying there is probably the most important thing for seekers to know, because I've seen a couple of people. I even know a mate of mine was just telling me 2 days ago that a good friend of his took his life, and he was over this whole thing. He got so caught up in the conspiracy thing, and I think that look, I myself, when I was in Spain writing my book, we're in an isolated area, and I had time to relook at things, and it's important to look at things. And when I came to realize that 9/11 was a sham, that it was a false flag, and I got obsessed in researching, and I had a lot of friends who similar wavelength, but just would shut down and talk about it. Say, what are you saying? And they never did that to their own people. I'd say, listen, there are other towers that went down. You look at, you do any research, they were not planes. Just because they look like a plane doesn't mean it's a plane. And at the time, I just thought, wow. I remember digging into this stuff, as you've done yourself, and you realize, and then after a while you think, okay, I'm educating myself, or I'm uneducating myself to the facts, and now I know what I'm dealing with. But because the 3D world doesn't get a rise out of me as much as it did, I'm not so reactive. It's okay. I understand it's all a part of us. It's a part of our story. But I do think New Agers, I think it's good for them to look into that, to look into the so-called dark side and that aspect, just to see what they're against, and then to integrate that within them. But as you say, not obsessed, because it's happening to a lot of people. You can really get obsessed because it's kind of nice, to feel they're all against us. Stop them, that kind of thing. Because it makes you, in many ways, like any kind of group, people feel perhaps less alone. But you've got to not get sucked into that trap.
Definitely. And I was blown away with the other side of things, the self-serving side. And this is where I've said to a lot of people that are love and light and new agey that their journey is their journey, and I honour it and respect that. But for their own sake, at least keep in the back of their mind my words of be aware of things that aren't in line with you. Because when I got my ass whooped by some of these entities, because I was just not aware of it, I wasn't. I had the there was there's no as you know there's no manual to what we experienced. You can go and read every single book on the block, but until you experience it, it's sort of like the fight or flight response or how you're going to handle what you're experiencing. So it's having that balance in between all that. I'm looking at your website now. You actually, do you do teaching for astral traveling and that, or courses for that as well?
I do. That's what I've started since coming back to Oz. So I moved to Brisbane about 8 months ago now. So I've just started doing this because I did my first one when I was in Europe, and I found people. I was just surprised that people came out with these feelings of that they've been astral and they want to become conscious. So I started training people. I've learned techniques because I was having these experiences. I wanted to learn how to get a bit of control. So there are certain exercises I could do to get more control over when I go out, or even to set up a journey, like to go to a planet or to go back in time to see dinosaurs, whatever. I've done, bizarre stuff. So I've been starting to train people, and I was thinking, can you retrain people? And then I had one person recently, a Melbourne girl, who had a full-blown, fully conscious out-of-body experience. And it changed her world. She went from being a really depressive, kind of negative, to just, wow. And I just thought that really, that inspired me so much to keep doing it. So now I've done courses in Mullaney up here, Byron, Brisbane, even in Melbourne. I did one in Jan at a yoga center. Was really good. So I've started doing that, and it's good. I found what frustrated me early on, probably like with yourself, is that I spend the first half of the course just trying to convince them that this is true. Like, yeah. It's like if you're doing a course on contact, people go, oh, they're really aliens? And you go, why are you here? You know, why are you here? And so what I did for the last course, and it sounds kind of almost mercenary, but I said, okay, you got to have read my book. And then you know what I'm about. Then come along and I did like a 3-hour thing in a yoga center. It was all on mat, so it was a very practical course. 7 people came. They'd all read my book. They knew what I was about. I didn't have to explain what Astra was. I didn't have to explain my contact with aliens and stuff. And we got straight into exercises. It was practical, hands-on. Do you want to experience getting out of your body? So that was the best course. It was just a 3-hour thing. Otherwise, I did a 2-day workshop at Millennia. I did a 1-day one in Byron at the Mongolian Yoga thing. It was good. But once again, I found most of my time explaining that astral experience is not dreaming.
It's hard because unless they've experienced it, they don't get it. Just a couple of questions from myself to you on that sort of thing. Have you, before you, either during or just before you go into that travel, like we talk about the vibration, I 100% get that. Personally, and sometimes, not all the time, I get geometry. Yes, do you ever get geometry?
Yes, I do. Amazing, isn't it?
Do you understand why you get it?
I don't really. I'm fascinated by it.
Because I've got an idea, like a download that I wouldn't mind running by you, and people can see this isn't scripted.
Please.
Like, I've had Michael Lee Hill on the show, and he is probably, to me, got some of the best footage in the world. He's been all over the news in America, and he's on UFO Hunters as well with the blood anomaly, which he's an Anunnaki contactee now, but he wasn't at that time. He's had experiences. Very fascinating bloke. Oh, I've got a lot of time for him.
Yep.
He basically tuned his guitar, I think it was an A chord or A string in 4-3-2. And then he sent it off to these dudes, Simoscope. I've got a picture on the wall up here. I'll actually pull it down. And from this is what they got. Geometry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. He's actually making Anunnaki healing discs now, which have got a band of copper in them. Now, why I'm bringing this up, you can see through it at night, like with the light on it.
It's beautiful.
Now, that's from a vibration at 4-3-2 of an A chord. Now, what I'm wondering is if we're about to go out and we pick a vibration, which is a realm or a place, and all of a sudden with that, what do you get with the vibration? Geometry.
Yes.
I'm wondering, because I talked about this with the mate the other day too, but I was thinking, each time I do it, it's not always the same geometry. And I'm thinking, maybe, and I could be far out here, but maybe what's happening is I'm tapping into a frequency and starting to settle in, and then all of a sudden I get that geometry and then a breakthrough.
Yes.
If that makes any sense. Just sort of something I thought, because you're, out of everyone I've spoken to, you're more on par with the astral stuff. I know everyone gets it, but you look into the science and the mechanism of how it's done. Does that ring any bells with you?
It does. I think I've seen some, when I've flown sometimes, I've been, there's like grid systems.
Yeah.
So what I also learned from one of my guides, and this ties back to what you're saying about time too, just out of interest, I experimented, I'd be hearing my guides, this female guide and a male guide who I've had who have grown in Earth, they've actually aged in Earth years, the same time, the same rate as myself. And she was telling me stuff about listening to different tones above your crown chakra and picking the highest of these frequencies. So what you find, when you lie down, anyone can do this, when you lie down at night, it's nice and quiet, focus on the top of your head and you will hear tones. It's really easy to do. Everyone I've told to do this, they've all heard them. And pitch the now these are, when I think about it, this is relating to what you're saying, these are different dimensions. Oh, by the way, when I first, when I, when she was teaching me that, this was in the astral, I actually deliberately came to, and her voice sped up incredibly quickly. And I learned also that hours, split second. Amazing. And to actually put that into practice, I wake up hearing her voice, and it was speaker, a normal speaker was just
Yeah, I know. It's just instant. Yeah.
fantastic. Anyway, also, when I, a lot of the light experiences I have, there's a lot of grid systems, triangles, also kind of geometry. I haven't worked out what it is. I tend to think it's different frequencies, as you're saying. What I'm about is to try to control the levels of frequency I'm going to. I'd like to be able to repeat experiences. What I often do when I hear the vibrations and I go out, generally you've got more chance of being pulled out on your back. When I say pulled out, you're actually taken out by beings. This is what I've found. So if I'm lying on my side, I will feel my energy body turn to its back when the vibrations come, and I'm lifted out. Often then I'm taken to a void, a dark place. Even dark sounds negative. It's not negative. It's just there's nothing.
But were you, did you have access to everything there?
Yes, what
Yeah,
I
I've
heard.
had the same thing.
But I think that'd be like the Akashic Record,
Yeah. Well, first
right?
off, I'd see everything on, they'll show me like a subatomic level, and then everything went black, and I was like, this is friggin' awesome. And I had access to everything.
Everything. And not only that, I was there once thinking, and I heard this and like I'm not a Buddhist, but I heard a definite a really deep, incredibly low voice. And it was like a human voice, but much octaves lower. And this thing just ripping through me. And I just thought, well, had it not been so. And you've got to have an adventurous spirit. That's what I tell people. Like I almost freaked out. Whoa, you know, but I thought, nah, it was huge, rippling through me. And this is when I flew once in this dimension, like a ghost. I flew from Munich to Vienna to try to pull my girlfriend out of her body. It was fascinating. And I remember I was actually shown the top of a building just before I picked up my girlfriend in Vienna. I thought, what's going on here? And it was like this, I could see it in absolute detail. Not a week later, I see the newspaper in Vienna and they built the Millennium Tower, which was the newest building. And that was exactly the shot I'd seen. They hadn't published photos. So it was like early on, I was given verification that what I was doing was real. And this is when I was getting out of my body in this reality. Like I literally got out to the first time I went to the loo, turned around, and I realized, hang on, I'm still in bed. And I was walking through walls. This is when I was experimenting with being in this reality and realizing, wow, and can I manipulate this reality? I would let people walk through me, and I would also feel their emotional state of being. And I thought, I remember once I was playing silly buggers. I was trying everything. And I was doing something would be seen as unethical. And I remember a voice said, Greg, do not do that again. And what I noticed when I'm being flown to these places, I noticed this being, and it was like you're saying, geometrical being. It was a being holding me by my ankles. It was like a faceted, translucent humanoid thing. I could see through it, but it was all different facets. It even had a face, but faceted. And I looked at it and thought, and it actually spoke to me, and it sounded like through a mechanical resonator or through some kind of electrical resonator. It was like, whoa. It was definitely an alien dimension. Didn't understand the words, but the intent was, you don't need to know this. Don't get obsessed with the mechanics, because I get obsessed with the mechanics of the astral thing. Like often I'm shown something, even an alien experience, but I'm thinking, physically, how do we generate this? Like it's the heart chakra, third eye chakra, that we have these energy bodies. And I've seen people when they're sleeping, their astral bodies are just outside, are sort of hovering above their physical body, connected by a cord. So everybody's going astral, but they're just not conscious of it. And sometimes people are waking up with sleep paralysis because they've seen something amazing. And when you get shocked, you come back to your physical body like that. So you've got to learn to be non-reactive. So I've learned to see things and just think, but I'm thinking, wow. I don't get sleep paralysis anymore too. Like, cause you fully integrate, you fully download all your astral memories, if you like, from your astral body into your physical. without coming back too fast. And what people are doing is they're often shooting back really quickly because they haven't had a conscious download or a conscious memory of this. They just don't know it exists. You know, and once again, imagine in schools if we're taught we can astrally project. We have an energy body. The word astral comes from the Latin word astrum, which means star body. So the ancients knew it, that we have star bodies. We have bodies that are to consciously navigate the universe, the cosmos.
That's
Now,
our vehicle.
that's our vehicle, you know, and this goes into geometrics, you know, like Merkabahs and these triangles within triangles and pyramids and stuff. So if we were taught this, the whole human race would just open up, and it's like with ufology, you know, we're taught that we're not just this finite being on this finite world, but of course the powers that be are trying to keep us down. But you know, not to get, as you say, not to get caught up in the conspiracy, but to know what you're dealing with, but really to get caught up with the wonder of it all and experiment, experiment, experiment. If we're able to have this kind of context living in a country such as Australia, which is very materialistic, we're not going to Tibet into a cave for 5 years to get an experience like this. So it shows you how evolved we are as beings. We have already been to Tibet. We've already done this stuff. You can do this from your lounge room. You know, I mean, and it's pretty, the net is pretty thick over us, but or get out or go bush. As you say, you go bush and you're gonna experience something. Now, if everybody has went out for one night, got away from the city lights, got out there, looked up at the sky, they're gonna see stuff. You know, and it might change their whole life. So I mean, better to do that than get caught up in how you're being shafted by the system almost. You know, I mean, you've got to know you're being shafted by the system, but then, you know, get cosmological, get your body amped up, you know, get
And it's
excited
still in
about
the practical side of things too, rather than so many people want to experience this or do that, but they don't put in the work, and
it.
it's all within. They don't have to go out and anything else. You can do it from anywhere. And I meditate, you know, every morning and night, and it's actually just laying on the side of the bed because I couldn't be stuck going. I used to sit up, or I used to have my certain couch, or I'd be outside. Now it's just you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, I do it in bed too.
And you know, you can just slip into it. Just
Straight away, because it's like a sense that in most people, it's dormant. As soon as you wake up, that sense. You know, I remember when I first discovered meditation, I thought, wow, this is amazing that we can go into ourselves. I just thought it was amazing, you know, and I used meditation as a tool as a musician to get to conquer stage fright. And I think that kind of regular meditation, just not to look at an altered state, but just to relax, just to go in. And I think that prepared my astral body for conscious activation, you know.
With the tones in that you're talking about, personally, what I do when I hear the tone, I'm just wondering if this is a process you use. Do you hone in and pick that tone, and then all of a sudden, if all you got to do is concentrate on, and it amplifies, and then it happens, doesn't it? Is that what you get?
That's really well said. Yeah, you listen for it, it's faint in the beginning. And what I find is these tones actually wake me up. Often I do these exercises to listen, but often before dawn. Can you hear me now? Because it's really raining. Do you want me to?
Yeah, I can
It's okay.
hear you.
What will happen is I will hear a little vibration and I think, hang on. And I'll focus in on, as you say, and the more you focus, the more it just builds and builds. So it's kind of, yeah, you've got to focus on that tone and kind of bring it into your body and just make it be super aware of that particular tone.
And just another quick question. I've noticed sometimes when the beings pull me, which is where I'd say, like, I've heard somebody like Jim Sparks, I think he said, get pulled the hard way, and I noticed something similar. But what I'd say is the noise or the vibration I hear is almost like a helicopter, but in between each thud is complete silence.
Yes,
And it's
yes.
like in a sight, yeah.
It's definitely what I call centrifugal. When I had this experience of levitation in this 3D reality, it was like, have you heard a bull roar? A bull? Yeah, it was like a roar. And in between, I think what you're saying is like in between, it's like a mini eye of the storm. In between, there's stillness. Woo, 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 woo. Fascinating.
Yeah, no, that's a very good way to put it. I've noticed that some of the crafts have that sound as well,
Yep,
which makes you
definitely.
think.
It makes you think. I think it's to do with accessing other dimensions. And I think these craft are definitely interdimensional craft. These craft are basically designed to access our dimensions and to others. So definitely connected. And I think the whole UFO concept and our astral bodies are really connected. Really connected. Yeah.
Definitely. Now, I would agree on that. Look, we'll wrap it up there, Greg. Now, I
Great.
want people to go and check out your website, gregdoyleastral.com, and check out your book, Awakening the Giant Within. I highly recommend
That's
that.
our books.
And
And
that's available at Amazon and a lot of other places, is it?
everywhere you can go, even bookstores, you can get them ordering. TS Bookshop, Melbourne, Reading's, Amazon, Book Depository, anything. I've got online as well. You can get them anywhere. I sell them for $24.85 anywhere within Australia.
Awesome,
And
awesome.
on Kindle as well.
I'd love to get you back on sometime. I just love talking. I'm just sitting here
Same.
going, yep. And just hearing the other, just what you've experienced. That's what makes this so enjoyable and everyone else learning from this as well. So, Greg, mate, thank you so much for coming on. And we're going to have to catch up soon, mate.
Yeah, really appreciate it. We'll have to catch up.
Thanks, mate. Have a good one.
You too. See ya.